distresses and calamity comes to us when we are caught most unaware. A sudden phone call, we hear bad news, whether it is death or sickness, our hearts weigh heavy. Tears roll down our eyes. The tears of the believer and the tears of the unbeliever. Is there a difference? What about the pressures of life? Sometimes it can become most overwhelming. What do we do? The tears of the man of God, the man called of God, with a purpose in his or her life to serve God, to walk with God, to follow Jesus Christ, our Lord, encountering seemingly insurmountable obstacles, whether it is remembering this work that needs to be done or that work that is left undone, juggling all these things at the same time. Well, sometimes we say how impossible it is. Can God help? Can God not help in times of dire distress? In this passage of Scripture, we shall examine from the pen of the prophet Jeremiah how he encouraged himself in the Lord in the most difficult of circumstances, when he saw that the world around him collapsing around him, when the Babylonians invaded Jerusalem and ravished the city, that beloved city of God. Great is thy faithfulness is the title of the devotion for this morning. We shall examine how the prophet Jeremiah encouraged his own heart when the world around him collapsed. But out of it all, Jeremiah was able to say, "The Lord is merciful, the Lord is faithful, and the Lord is good." How is it so? How can it be so amidst suffering? Verse 22 here, the prophet brought to remembrance in his heart that he has experienced before in his life that God is merciful, that the Lord is merciful. He says in verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." He stayed focused on God's unfailing compassion. That is the character of God. He stayed focused on God's unfailing compassion. When Jeremiah recalled these truths of God's character amidst great suffering, he said in verse 21, "I have hope." Though the situation seemed so difficult to endure, he saw God holding him by his mercies. Truly, we break God's laws daily. And if God were to make us pay for every sinful thought and word and deed, where will we be? Therefore, when Jeremiah said these words of God's unfailing compassion, because he's an all-merciful God, we cannot but come to God in total surrender. He's so good. He takes care of us in such a forgiving way. May we search our hearts, repent our sins of unrighteousness. Each day when we awake, we feel the breath in our nostrils when we come with grateful acknowledgement of God's unfailing compassion. The word "fail not," the word there means complete, accomplished, finished, completed action. It is a well or a fountain that is never exhausted of its resources. The Lord says, "My compassion to you is unfailing." Jeremiah described his God as a fountain of living waters, that God is not dead, but living. Our Lord's compassion never runs dry. The poor sinner must run and flee to him to be nourished each time. The word compassion is a noun, as we mentioned yesterday, comes from the word womb to describe motherly love, and the verb is love, the love that is like the security of the unborn baby nourished in the mother's womb. The child is simply helpless. When we acknowledge our utter inability, God will show his exceeding ability through us. These words of hope is the experience of Jeremiah as he shared with us how he was rejuvenated each time he came to the fountain of living waters, to his Lord, and how the Lord nourished him. And he says this of the people of Israel in Jeremiah 2:13. He says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water." And in Jeremiah 17, verse 13, he says, "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters." So our Lord Jesus Christ said to the woman at the well in Samaria, Jesus says in John 4 verse 14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water which I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." If you have received Jesus Christ by faith, believe that he has saved you, shed his blood to wash away your sins, and you have come with a contrition of heart, repenting of your sins. By faith, the Spirit of God comes to indwell you and nourish you. So, dear friends, we ask you this question. As you think about your own life, the life that took place the last 1 year, has the Lord been merciful to you? Have you experienced the mercy of God? Acknowledge that it is by his mercies that we are still alive and well today, though we have sinned against God's laws continually. That's verse 22. It is our sin that sent our Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. It was the guilt of sin that caused Adam and Eve to hide from the presence of God in the Garden of Eden after eating the forbidden fruit. It was a sin of covetousness that caused Ananias and Sapphira to just drop dead for lying to the Holy Ghost. It was the sin of rebellion that caused Moses to say unto the congregation of Israel in the rebellion of Korah, Depart from the tents of this wicked man, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all your sins." It was God who sent an earthquake to swallow up the rebellious Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and others that joined them who challenged the leadership of Moses. Mercy is the undeserved kindness and goodness of God showered upon his people. It is because of his unfailing love, the Lord's unfailing love, that we have our being. Did you first love God? Well, we did not, right? We are rebels, each one of us. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7, which we have studied on our first day, we said, the Lord wrote, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people." Blessed Hope Bible Presbyterian Church. "For ye were the fewest of all people, because the Lord loved you, And because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, and as the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. What should be our response to our God for his love for us? What will be your response? What must be your response? It must be to love him and to keep his commandments. Verse 23 says, they are new every morning. What is new? The unfailing compassion of God. And therefore, as Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Mashiach of Israel, Jehovah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I say this to you, we may shed tears, but these are tears of hope. As we stay focused to experience the hand of our merciful God, to experience his unfailing compassion. It is covenantal, and it is given to us so that we may know him and we may rest assured of this love that God has for his people that never fails. So the root word for the word compassion, we said, is love. Have you experienced his love for you this morning? We must live in the presence of God. Just when we think that everything is done for Jeremiah, the world collapsed around him because the Babylonians came to ravish the city. Everything collapsed around him. And the Lord gave him these words of encouragement. God's mercies are new every morning. Remember in Pilgrim's Progress, when Christian was led by the interpreter, by the hand, to a place where there was a fire burning against the wall. A man stood by, continually pouring water, but the fire only burned brighter and brighter. Then Christian said, "What does this mean?" And the interpreter answered, "The fire is the work of God's love in the human heart. He that pours water upon it is the devil." Remember Israel's history, how persecution came so ferociously. Fiery persecutions they have experienced throughout their history. Annihilation. But as you see, the fire only burns, the interpreter says, brighter and hotter. "I'll show you the reason why," he tells him. Then the interpreter took Christian behind the wall, and here he saw another man with a vessel in his hand, continually pouring fire or water upon the fire, or oil upon the fire. What does it mean? Well, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He uses the oil of grace to keep the work already begun in the heart of his people. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. So as you look and you see this man, our Lord Jesus Christ, not very visible. He was behind the wall, but he was there pouring the oil. And so the fire was not extinguished. And you realize that our Lord is there upholding us, sustaining us. Oftentimes we could not see him that clearly, but he is there so that, you know, the fire in your heart, God's life that he has begun with you, will not be quenched, snuffed out. Having acknowledged the mercies that God gives, that we are still alive and well today, though we have sinned against God continually, and having experienced anew showers of God's mercy daily, we must come in confession of our utter unrighteousness. So our thought, how do we remain strong when the world around us collapsed? Stay focused to experience God's unfailing compassion and not wallow in self-pity. This leads us to the great statement of truth. May we be grounded on God's unfailing faithfulness. That He is faithful. He will not leave you. He who has helped you in the last few years, since you began your Christian life, will not stop short of His supply and help and provision for you. You can count Him faithful. And the word means God's constancy, His steadfastness, His reliability, His trustworthiness. And He wants you to take Him at His word, experience that He is faithful. It was the sin of idolatry that sent the Lord's judgment upon the last standing southern kingdom of Judah and its capital city, Jerusalem. They have departed from their God. And so the title of the book of Lamentation comes from the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And the word there means lamentations. And in the original Hebrew title of the book is How, or Elas. How, taken from the first word of the book. And Lamentation chapter 1 verse 1 tells us, how doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How is she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princes among the provinces, how is she become tributary? Remember what we said? Complacency, compromise, the Canaanite factor. Well, these are all the things that took place in Israel's history. But God has His faithful remnant. Jeremiah was one of them. And the Lord encouraged his heart, strengthened him amidst all the sorrow that is around him. Jeremiah 2 verse 1. How hath the Lord covered the daughters of Zion with a cloud in His anger, and cast down from heaven unto the earth the beauty of Israel, and remembered not His footstool in the day of His judgment. Lamentation 4 verse 1. How is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. The prophet Jeremiah, who wrote the book of Lamentations, was an eyewitness of Judah's downfall and the capture of Jerusalem by the Babylonians in 586 BC. It is in such times that he penned the words by the guidance of the divine Holy Spirit. Great is thy faithfulness. So every time you feel discouraged, remember, great is the faithfulness of our God. Throughout the book were descriptions of destruction, calamity, and pain. It was written by 22 verses in each chapter. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 4, chapter 5. Sandwiched between chapter 3, which has three times the number of verses, 66 verses. And if you examine the book carefully, you would notice that each of the verses in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 4 consists of what we said, the Hebrew alphabetic acrostics. So it's like, you know, every verse begins with the different letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Is to aid memory for them to be able to understand. So here, it is as if to say that the destruction, the calamity, the pain is so thorough and so complete that we have to list it from A to Z, all of it. And it is as if to describe the weariness, the sadness, the destruction which has befallen, or which has come into the judgment, and the people have come into the judgment of the living God because of their sins of idolatry, a rebellion and a departure from God. For Jeremiah, he was that witness. So in the midst of total darkness, misery, is embedded this gems in the Word of God, of the presence of God, even in times of utter calamity. His unfailing goodness. You see, throughout the life of Israel, when they departed from God, they also departed from the reading of God's word. Before Judah was destroyed, there was a king by the name of Josiah. Well, he didn't know his right hand from the left hand until the priest found God's word, the book of the Bible that was written for them and brought to him, and that's where reform came. And how did Israel resurrect after 2,000 years? It's because they have the Bible. It's a dead language, and yet how they resurrected their language by means of the Bible. The Hebrew language is embedded in the Bible. And how the Lord kept his word pure through the ages so that the people of God have it. And when they read it, God is going to speak to them. God is going to help them. So, faithfulness is consenting to obey God when it takes unexpected sacrifice. There is something constant, trustworthy, and reliable in faithfulness. Faithfulness is part of God's immutability. He's unchanging in his faithfulness. What will keep us stable during times of change? It is looking at the unfailing faithfulness of God. Remember Peter, when he requested Jesus to let him walk on the water? And Jesus says, come. And when he looked, when he came out, he was able to walk. And he was so happy. He was looking at Jesus. But when he took his eyes off the Lord, and he focused on the storm that was around him, he began to sing. And he says, Lord, save me. And the Lord stretched out his hand to hold him. A precarious time. We must run quickly to the Lord. Dear brethren, let us look at the unfailing faithfulness of God for our help. And from verses 24 to 27, waiting for God's unfailing provision. We commit ourselves to his hands and await that God will never stop short of helping his people. So he was assured that the well of God's compassion and devotion had not run dry. And Jeremiah expressed his trust in God. Great is thy faithfulness. He affirmed that the Lord was his portion, and he declared that he would wait in faith for the Lord's salvation, strengthened by the knowledge that God is good to those who hope in him. And the metaphor portion that Jeremiah used to describe what the Lord is to him describes an allotment of a landed property which provides the necessities of life. Like Israel, each one, when they reached the promised land, they were allotted a piece of real estate. And that is their inheritance that God gave to them. Well, we are promised an inheritance. Jesus says, I go and prepare a place for you, a mansion, and I will come and I will receive you, and you will enjoy it. You will not be a loser for trusting Him. And so the Lord tells us we are to wait for God's unfailing provision. Acknowledge our inheritance and hope is only in God. Verse 24. Fervently seeking after God in prayer. Verse 25. Quietly waiting for His deliverance. Verse 26. And diligently with discipline doing our duties. Go on to do what God has put in your hands to do and experience that the Lord is good. Dear brethren, let us stay focused on the Lord's unfailing compassion, and may we be grounded on God's unfailing faithfulness. Quietly and patiently wait for God's unfailing provision. And this is the man of God and his hope in times of dire distress. Let us pray. Father in heaven, if we faint in the day of life's adversity and testing, our strength is small. Thou hast deemed fit to send upon men adversity and testing for the purpose of exercising our faith and fortitude, that by these graces that it may abound in our life. Lord, if we faint under thy discipline, we lose the benefit of thy testing. Lord, though we be weak, may thou be gracious to strengthen us. Lord, we ask that thou be gracious as we bless thee, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts all in all their tribulations and distress. May thou strengthen us so that we may not, by our feeble senses, become discouraged and weak, but trust in thy forever written word. Lord, thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. May thou help us to experience anew thy mercy, faithfulness, and goodness this morning and every morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.